You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 26 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, Mr. Price results, and Rand getting completely slaughtered. If time, Growth Point as well. Stephen Joffe from Invicta, strong results, no dividend. And then talking to TWK, and retail does really good, albeit their fuel courts have been struggling. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Virgin Active has lost nearly a third of its active members. All markets have taken a punch from COVID. I know my Virgin Active, I would say it's lost even more than a third. Business Day, SA back on UK travel red list after new COVID-19 variant. They say the variant poses a potential significant threat to the vaccine program, according to British officials. So we are back on, if you go to the UK or return, 10 days quarantine. Morning markets, US was closed yesterday for Thanksgiving, and today's a half day in the US day. It'll be quiet. Asia is red. Sydney down 1.5%. Tokyo down 2.4%. Commodities mixed overnight, although largely flat. Gold, 1,800. Brent, 80.76. Palladium, 18.85. Rand taking a pounding, 16.20. Top 40 looking for a red open, about 720 points down. That's 1.1% weaker. And that as Tencent trades 3% off in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the time. The Mr. Price update. I mean, I think we're used to Mr. Price being a high-quality retailer. I got to say, I thought these results were really good. Retail sales up over almost 38% increase, almost 4 billion rand cash, no debt, taking market share. I mean, just every inch of that result, I thought, really good looking.
No, that was an excellent result. And what was really interesting, they gave the comparative to pre-COVID levels.
Yeah.
And it's up strongly on pre-COVID levels as well. Look, they did say they've gained market share, about 2% market share. But I've also learned there's market share and there's market share. That's a very hard thing to measure. But excellent results. Look, you know, it's a strange thing when you brag you've got no debt on your balance sheet.
Yeah.
You know, debt is not a bad thing. You know, if you've got a return, if you get a return on your assets higher than your cost of debt, then you get gearing. I mean, excess debt's a killer in bad times, but, you know, it's strange that they are so happy they got no debt. Maybe they should have a little bit of debt and actually just return those funds to shareholders, because they'll actually make a better return for shareholders ultimately taking on a little bit of debt. But it's very good, and it's right across the board. Also interesting in that comparison to pre-COVID levels, every single part of their business was pre-COVID.
Yeah, yeah. And I take
it was past pre-COVID. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, improving on what compared to 2019. And I take your point on debt, almost a lazy balance sheet in a sense. A little bit of debt, not the worst thing. The Rand, 16.23 this morning. If I'm recalling, your fair value is around 15.50. But truthfully, it overshoots in both directions. This shouldn't be
correct.
A massive surprise.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I've been saying for a while that we'll end the year at around about 16, because now we are in a weakening phase of the rand because the commodity cycle has turned down. But I think the downturn in commodities is going to be limited, and maybe we've seen the majority of that fall already. So I'm not forecasting a massive rand weakness from this level. Maybe it can go to 16.50, maybe 17 at an absolute stretch, but that'll probably be temporary. So most of the rand weakness has actually happened. Remember, it's come from 13.50, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, just the edge.
So I think most of the weakness has actually happened. It doesn't help us next week because we're going to get another petrol price increase.
Yeah, that is coming, and it's going to be painful. Growth Point giving us a quarterly update to end of September. It's still tough being a REIT in the South African market. Growth Point is obviously the giant in our market. Your take on their update?
Look, I don't think it was that bad, but I mean, life is tough there. The point about the listed property companies is that for a sustained time period, a good few years ago, they traded above tangible asset value.
Yeah.
Now they're trading at a significant discount to the valuation. So, you know, if you buy now, you'll probably be a very happy shareholder. You might only be happy in 5 years' time, but these things truly represent value because, I mean, if you just take lots of companies now, I mean, lots, and I've heard a few stories now where they're saying, got to come back to work at least 3 days a week. It's actually almost becoming mandatory. So people will go back. It means that office space will pick up and you'll be probably over the worst for vacancies because the real problem is office. No, retail's not. In fact, retail's fine. Mm-hmm. It's the office story. That's the big problem.
And me and you have chatted about this before. You know, the old school investors would always buy REITs at a discount to NAV. And if you did that in the late 90s, early 2000s, you did great.
You made a fortune, yeah.
If you bought at premium to NAV, it hurt. I mean, the property sector was down ahead of COVID.
Yes, a lot. I mean, the property sector up until, when was it, about 2017, somewhere around there. Mm. It was the best performing sector on the market for the last 10 years or something, risk adjusted. It was, so everyone wanted property, but then the company started falling down towards NAV and a bit below NAV. And then, of course, the COVID hit and they went to the 40% discount to NAV. And the NAV itself was written down 15 or 20%. So it's been very tough being a property shareholder over the last few years. But now's the time to be one, actually. You know, when times are tough, that's when you should actually buy because that's when the securities are cheap.
Yeah, I'm checking that. So kind of peaked early 2015, went sideways for a couple of years, and then beginning of 2018 started that collapse. And of course, COVID made it a whole lot worse. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning. A poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Those Mr. Price results. Absolute market share. I take Wayne's point. Everyone says they're growing market share, but they are sitting on a pile of cash. They got no debt. Which is your preferred clothing retail? Mr. Price, Truers, Fashini, perhaps other. Have your vote. Have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Eddie Five as his CEO TWK results out late yesterday afternoon. Revenue from continued operations up 15.3%. Headline earnings up 25.8%. And dividend up 75% at Rand 14. That was for the year ending August. Eddie, appreciate the early morning time. A really strong set of numbers coming out of TWK. The one sort of maybe dark spot was the filling station division. Let's quickly touch on that. What's your challenges that you're seeing there?
Good morning, Simon, and your listeners. Yeah, the fuel industry is really, a bit of a nightmare for us at the moment, really driven by the impact of still COVID, people not moving around, not going to work, and all the travel issues. So, yeah, it's still a problem, but not part of our core businesses. And
correct.
We decided to sell some of those operations and see if we can't, with that, improve our profits further and also unlock that cash that's currently sitting there.
Yeah, I take your point. I'm still out and about a bit, but I'm using probably about a third as much petrol as I used to. Your retail mechanization segment, which is now, what, $3.3 billion, a really, really big segment, a really strong period. And I was having a look, and I got to say, I hadn't realized quite how many stores you have dotted around. It's about 30 of them, which certainly have been producing very strong results.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's really driven by a strong agri sector at the moment. We saw good yields from the maize and the crops from the farmers and also benefited from the good commodity prices. So, yes, the farmers are optimistic and we It's really evident in the double-digit increase in tractor sales that we saw the last couple of years. The fertilizer sales were from TWK side were up by 23%. So with the good spread of our stores through out in Mpumalanga and Natal, we really able to benefit from that growth.
And are you expecting, I chatted with Bondile Shilobo a while ago, of course, agri-economist, and he was saying that that we should have another good planting season. It looks like we're getting good rain. And importantly, prices are remaining elevated. Are you optimistic for the current financial year?
Yes, we are. We are definitely optimistic. Like I said, the increase in the sales, and we already see it in the new financial year. I'm very optimistic, and we are positive about the new year as well.
Your acquisition, you've always had some timber. You made the acquisition of Peak Timber Business as well during the year. Who is your market for the timber business?
See, the timber and forestry industry is one of the more consistent and better performing commodities in the agri sector. And we really see significant growth there, and also the opportunity that will come with it. There is currently a bigger demand for our wood chip exports into the market, and we will also benefit from the weaker rand out of that. So the timing of that acquisition was real spot on, and we will be able now to deliver to our markets the increased demand of the products, like I said, and also with our knowledge in terms of the timber industry, with good forestry practices, and also with better cost savings that we can get out of Peak, we see a good opportunity and even better results coming forward.
You've got your renewable energy segment. It is at this point still very small. Revenue of 3.4 million, EBITDA of 670,000. I'm imagining this is something which you're starting small, but potentially has significant upside. And I'm thinking particularly farmers who have pressures from Eskom, both in terms of reliability and in terms of cost.
Yeah, so it's actually a very interesting model where we lease roof spaces from malls, and then we put on the solar panels and sell the electricity to the users. So like you said, it's a new venture. We see a lot of potential there, especially with what we see now with the increase in electricity and also the demand on the demand side. That's problematic. So still new and still small, and we are positive about it, and let's see how it goes. And we also have plans to increase it if it really results in the returns that we expect.
Yeah, very, very tiny at this point, but something that could become quite meaningful in time. We'll leave it there. That's the CFO of TWK, Eddie Fivas. Appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Stephen Joffe, CEO at Invicta. That results out 6 months ending September. Revenue up 25%. Headline earnings from continuing operations up 203%. No dividends declared. Stephen, appreciate the time. 6 months to December, this was more COVID lockdowns. This was the July riots. How much did those riots impact not only Invicta, but potentially also your customers at the same time, who perhaps either had to, order up or perhaps ordered down in the process?
Yeah, the direct impact on our operations was 2 million rand. But the impact on our customers and the reduced sales was in the order of 14 million rand. So unfortunately, our customers were closed and couldn't order during that time.
Okay, so still challenges there. And the other challenge, I mean, we're seeing supply chains the world over still struggling. And perhaps I say this naively, maybe some of your things are easier to bring, and I'm thinking parts and the like, but some of your bigger sort of earth-moving equipment, not so much. How are your supply chains getting stuff into your warehouses?
No, it's been very challenging in almost every category of business that we're in. But you are correct. The bigger capital equipment has been particularly challenging, and some of that challenge has been offset by some smart decisions early on to increase the number of months stock hold. So we're still benefiting from that decision made quite early on in the COVID, in the COVID period. But it's certainly not been an easy time in terms of inventory and logistics, and even when you get the stock to South Africa, you know, we've had issues at the Durban port.
Yeah.
Illegal truck strikes. We've had issues on the highway. You know, it just has not been an easy environment to operate.
You mentioned Durban Port. I was in Durban at the weekend, and there were some 30 ships waiting outside. Back in the day, I remember maybe a bad day was 10 or 12. Are you still finding challenges with Durban?
It's certainly a lot better than it was, but it's still not as good as it should be.
You mentioned that you sort of almost bought stock ahead and the like, and I know we chatted about this for your year-end results when inventories are well down and they're sitting at pretty much the same level that they were for year-end. You found that sweet spot with your inventory levels, which freed up a huge amount of cash, but it's working for you at around about R1 billion.
Yeah, I think the guys have all done a great job in managing inventory. But what I'm thinking about in the next 6 months, we were protected in the last 6 months by the strong rand. So although there was quite a big, quite a lot of inflation on all the products, you were protected a little bit by the rand. And I think that protection has waned in the last few weeks. And I do think you're going to see inventory levels start creeping up just because of devaluation of the rand and increase of the raw materials that you've seen for the last six.
Your debt levels, you make the point in the results that you're at appropriate net debt levels. It's down some 30% a year ago. It's well within covenants. You're also sitting on around R1 billion of cash. You've got the deal that you've done, and you announced that a couple of, I think, what, months before last. You've got some firepower here.
Yeah, Simon, that's the thing that we've really worked on hard. We've really right-sized our business. We've right-sized our debt. In fact, we've almost reduced the debt, the net bank debt, to almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And now we've got a wonderful platform on which to build. And now it's really the big challenge is to find the right businesses to add on to the Invicta base.
Yeah, I remember when we chatted, when you announced the deal, David, and you said then you'd looked at lots. I'm imagining you're getting a lot coming across your desk. It's finding the ones that fit, and I suppose importantly, fit at the right price.
Yeah, and absolutely, the price is key. And also, we really want to try and transform Invicta into maybe what I could call sunrise industries, and be involved in some of these really strong growth industries for the next few years. And we believe that the fiber telecommunication is just one such space.
Yeah, and that was the deal that you announced. Also, no dividend coming through. And I was looking, you paid a year end. Historically, back in the day, it used to be an interim and a year end. No interim dividend this time. What was the thinking behind that? Because certainly the balance sheet is looking like it could pay a dividend.
Yeah, I actually went back just to check. I was asked that question earlier, and I didn't answer completely because I wasn't sure if everything was in the public realm. So clearly, we've got acquisition opportunities, and we want to fulfill those acquisitions. But if you look at the Dotcom announcement, you will see that we committed to the Dotcom vendors who are taking shares, significant shares in Invicta, a dividend of R5.15 over the three-year period. So what I wanted to do and what we discussed at the board is to keep the powder dry now and rather declare the dividend at the end of the year, by which time we hope the Dotcom shareholders will be shareholders in Invicta. And that will basically help reduce that obligation of R5.15 to them.
Gotcha. Okay, that does make perfect sense. That yeah, I see what you're doing there, and it can wait 6 months and the like. Hey, we've chatted over the course of the year, and you've mentioned now around how sort of repositioning in Invicta in a sense, the K&N Group, you're exiting that and the like. And the core business, the Engineering Solutions Group, which is your big part, your Capital Equipment Group, my sense is they've both running incredibly well. They're not going to get spun out. They're going to be there. They're part of Invicta. They're almost, I imagine, in the DNA.
Absolutely, yeah. So they really are part of Invicta. And as you said, they're strong businesses and strong management and continue to do well. So no, we're very proud of those businesses, and we're looking to grow those the divisions.
We'll leave that there. Stephen Joffe, CEO of Invicta, results out just after the close on Thursday. Appreciate the time today. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. We're talking about the Soho Hotels results. Still loss-making, looking better. Of course, since then, the UK has now banned us. And we asked, what's your holiday plans? A quarter of you were, yep, we're going to be staying at a hotel. Another quarter was saying that, friends and family. Almost half of you, staycation. And you're not going anywhere at this point in time. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.